K100 with Tony and the Disco is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and the NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-D, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline. The game starts here.
Orgullosamente Latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
Bang, the tang, the tang, tang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, the tang, the tang, tang.
We be thumping.
Bang, the tang, the tang, tang.
Just act like you know, and homie, stop rocking.
Through stomping. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the S's and the 6-4 hopping. To my Boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping. Rolling in my low top chucks. Making sure you suckers feel me every time we buzz. Checkered up like a nut going 5150. G'd up in the feet up. Creased up in some dickies.
I rap a lot. Like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clock up in the shop. Straight boosting. To all my gente down in Juarez. Calma de momento, paisa, no dispares.
Put it down from Killer Kelly to the MIA. Ask the homie Crazy K, yo man, that boy don't play. It's in my NIAK, putting it down all day. Representing Southern Cali, get in my way, don't get sprayed.
We be dropping.
Bang, the tang, the tang, tang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, the tang, the tang, tang.
We be dropping.
But now he's like getting that the anti-Trump people. Well, now I can't support Logan Paul. What the fuck?
Yeah, but he doesn't care. He's a heel on the show. So, all right. Next is from Anthony Coco, and the subject says, Caitlin Clark turned babyface. The required question is in the heading. For me, she has. I found her to be annoying for a while, but the way she's been treated, I'm now rooting for her. Wondering how you three feel about it. Well, they're painting her as a, you know, I mean, that's definitely the. I've not watched any of her games like from start to finish. I've seen clips of her playing. So I don't know, like, you know, what the announcers are saying, but like, it seems like the narrative that they're spinning is they're trying to paint her as kind of a victim that's getting bullied by the other girls in the league is the storyline that I'm seeing, because her team's not that good. Okay. She's having a rough go of it out there because she's not, you know, she was the best player in college basketball. She's definitely not even close to being the best player in the WNBA. You know, there's girls that are way better than her, you know, and she's having a rough go, and they're painting her as a victim.
She's going to be viewed as the good guy by a lot of people, D.I., because when you see the other girls get asked about her, they're usually so off-putting and rude and, like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
they're like
a lot of PR training, man.
You know, because the other girls are healing on her and coming across as, like, assholes.
And healing on the press, too, and that's right. Not going to work out for you.
All right. What do you think, Conan?
Bro, to me, it's welcome to the game. Like in any sport, wrestling, military, youth sports, in a few years, she'll be pushing people around. I don't see her as a fucking baby face at all.
So next is from Theo Combo, and the subject is sabotage. Hey, K100 crew, have you seen the cryptic work shoot video Killer Cross posted on his official YouTube channel? It's too long for the mailbag, but I still haven't watched this thing yet. But I'm going to watch it tonight at work when I get there. But y'all need to watch it. There's so much to unpack and decipher. Especially the points Cross makes about being sabotaged in WWE. He talks about his NXT success and alludes to Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits being bad people, among other topics. Conan D.I., you probably know Kerry better than anyone else in the business. Could you please discuss his content and what may have driven Kerry to post it? And that's TK from Seattle. Bro, you got to look at all of Cross's. I mean, Cross's content that he used to post back his YouTube channel, back before he even went to NXT or even Impact. Was all work, shoot, blurring the lines. Like he'd always do that. That hasn't changed at all. He always tries to paint his characters like reality. And like he would play, like he'd do his videos and he'd play clips of like a newscaster saying he's wanted for 7 felonies or something. You know, like trying to paint like his past history is a, like this, you know, this guy's like got a very sordid history. Like he may be a criminal on the run, like the FBI, like that was kind of like the type of content.
There was some kind of report where somebody reported that he was a contract killer in the past,
right?
And it was like, wait a second, that's just
he would put that in his videos, and it would blur reality. He's always been brilliant like that, you know. Yeah. You gotta comment. Have you seen him yet, Conan?
Yeah, didn't we use this as an Easter egg or a cold open, Joe? Yeah, we already used it. I already heard it. Bro, this to me is a very cleverly worded in where he uses facts and fictions to weave a storyline where he can claim plausible deniability, but still use it in an angle, which is kind of how I book, right?
Right.
I doubt very highly that the Street Profits are bad people because I've only heard good things about them. And Bobby, I know personally, and he's cool as a cucumber, bro. He's cool like whip, you know what I'm saying?
But you
got to kind of read between the lines, because when he's saying stuff like losing to Hardy, you know, his debut when they put the fucking stupid, what was it, a helmet or
the gladiator.
The gladiator gimmick, you know. And if you remember, if he was to get the COVID shot to go to Saudi Arabia, I think that's when they released him. You know, which is kind of funny because Cena, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, etc., they refuse to go and nothing happened to them. So he cleverly weaves that into a storyline that you can still use. But it's like, guy's just very clever.
Yeah. Next is from a random reader, Chris Lamore. The subject is bare feet wrestlers. You guys provide the best podcast in wrestling. Could you guys explain how wrestlers wrestle without boots? Seems like it would hurt hitting objects like the steel steps or announcer's table. Yeah, I don't know how the guys ever did that.
Yeah.
Like how you would never get stone bruises on your heel. Maybe just like the fact you're doing it kind of toughens up the feet, you know, like makes it just because you would think like a lot of motions that you do in wrestling, a lot of impact, you know, landing and stuff would do a tremendous amount of stress on your feet. That, you know, you'd break a toe every once in a while. I don't know. It's very...
Yeah, I'm the same way. I just think that wrestling, long enough, you get calluses or whatever. You become accustomed to it. Because I wrestled with Pat Tanaka when he was fucking barefoot and with Kevin Von Erich. And I was like, how the fuck are these guys doing this? Bro, in Japan, I once wrestled over there, Great Sasuke.
Right.
And he broke his foot. And he used to wear, like, you know, those Chinese slippers?
Right.
Who have zero support. Bro, he just wrapped it up real tight and kept wrestling. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so next is from Easton Axewound. Subject is time to admit to being...
Doesn't Riddle wrestle barefoot?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I'm going to ask him when I see him in Mexico.
Okay, so this is how it starts. You guys were wrong about Kevin Gill. He was a terrible co-host. You guys were wrong about Billy Boddy. He was a terrible reporter. You guys are wrong about Larry Dallas. He was a terrible segment host. And you guys are wrong about Bin Hameen. He was a terrible guest. With this in mind, do you think it's time for you guys to admit to being wrong about MJF as being a draw? He had his first appearance on Dynamite 6 months, and the venue had a crowd of less than 3,000 in a venue that holds 10,000. Plus, the TV rating was below 800,000. Also, Conrad Thompson, the AEW shill, even pointed out in the last 83 weeks that for the rest of June, July, AEW doesn't have a single show that has passed the 2,000 tickets mark. AEW do not have draws. There may be characters that you personally enjoy, but that doesn't mean they are draws. Do you think it's time for the wrestling world to finally accept that MJF is not the star everyone calls him? Or do you think it's just going to be ignore reality and full steam ahead? Well, when have we ever said this? I've always said the show is better when MJF is on it and they don't lose viewers for his segments.
Yeah, so he's trying to say that he's not a draw. You know, go ahead, finish it.
That's the end of the email. But...
Okay, let me just say a couple things because he mentioned a couple people that were on the show. We can't be wrong because... Kevin Gill, we got rid of him. Okay. If we kept him on, then we would be wrong. Okay. Right. I'd only known him a little while and the show was going to start it. I needed a producer. I thought originally Court Bauer from MLW and MSL were going to come with me and they didn't want to. Okay. So I needed somebody and I picked him. What was the other guy? Billy Boddy. We got rid of him too pretty quick, I would say. Maybe not as quick as people like it, but he's not here anymore. I'd only met him through Disco, you know. Larry Dallas, he never acted like that in AAA, and he'd been there for like 5 years. We got rid of him quick, okay? If we would have kept these guys, then you have something, you know. And I think you're absolutely wrong. Hameen is a great guest because he challenges the norm. I like that. I like to think of stuff that never occurred to me, whether it's a conspiracy or not. So you're absolutely wrong there. And as far as MJF, he may not be a draw according to numbers, but that's more an indictment on the show, not him, because he's usually the best thing on the show.
Right. If they're bringing him back.
And you're either uninformed or a hater or both.
Right.
Or plus a mark.
They're bringing him back against Roosh. Like, right. How's that going to draw? You know? Right. All right. So the next one is from
what's the guy's name?
Easton Axwood? Easton Axwood. Joe, you smoke, right?
Well, the nicotine vapes, you see me puffing them all the time, you know?
Well, let me tell you about a new sponsor we have called Lucy. It's 100% pure nicotine. It's always tobacco-free. And this is available in pouches, gum, and we got this new thing called breakers, okay? Well, breakers are these little pouches, but there's a capsule of liquid flavor inside that helps saturate the pouch. Breakers are available in 4 milligrams or 8 milligrams. And the flavors are mint, very citrus, espresso. And if you're not a pouch guy or gal, you know, Lucy's gum is available in 2 milligrams, 4 milligrams, or 6 milligrams. So if you like nicotine, it's a great product for you. So set yourself up with a subscription. Have Lucy deliver straight to your door. No more weekly or daily gas station stops. Joe, you use this, right?
Yeah, it's because of the thing, you know, you always see me vape on here. And I've had people say before, yeah, you know, doing that on camera. But at the same time, it's a habit, you know. So I started trying the Lucy Breaker pouches. And actually, it's helped me a lot. I think I might switch because when you vape like that, it can get really expensive. And if this is going to break me of that habit, I'm totally all about it. And it tastes really good, too.
So let's level up your nicotine routine with Lucy. So go to lucy.co/K100 and use the promo code K100 to get 20% off your first order. Lucy offers free shipping and has a 30-day refund policy if you change your mind. That's lucy.co/K100 and use code K100. You get 20% off and always free shipping. And here comes the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age. Every order is age verified. It's no kids. Warning, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical.
So get your nicotine with Lucy. Boom.
Next is from Nishad Jiwa. The subject is question for K100 Squad. Hello, K100 crew. Amazing podcast. Very informative, insightful, and entertaining. Question for the staff. The Walter Hill 1979 cult classic The Warriors just celebrated its 45th anniversary. Which gang was your favorite in the movie? Thanks. And that's from Nishad Jiwa from Houston, Texas. Okay, what were the gangs? They had the baseball guys. They had the
Gang. Yeah, what they had the Asian gang. Those
pull that up, Joe. Pull up the names of the gangs because my favorite gang was the baseball gang. What were they called?
You got the
Baseball Furies,
the Warriors, the Gramercy Riffs, the Rogues, the Orphans, the Turnbull ACs, and the Lizzies.
Oh, the Lizzies were the girls, right?
Yeah.
What were the baseball gang?
The Baseball Furies.
Oh, the baseball team. Yeah, they were my favorite because they had baseball. All right, so the next one is from...
can I answer?
Well, go ahead. Did you
see this movie, Joe? Do you want to answer?
I actually never saw The Warriors. No, I haven't.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
Well, somebody's saying Warriors come out and play.
No, yeah, I know that.
So you know that, but you never...
Yeah, right.
Great movie. Bro, they had a lot of JoJo gangs. So basically the story, Joe, is they're trying to get from... I think the Bronx to Coney Island, and they got to go through all these neighborhoods, and they've been framed for a murder, the Warriors, that was actually done by this crazy guy. I think, what was the gang's name?
And they had like the gang radio channel where like the radio station.
Right.
Yeah, the people like tipping off the gangs to where they were and stuff. They're like, hey, you know, so it is actually very clever movie. Like, right. I was a big fan of, you know?
So. Yeah. And so, they were killed by the Rogues. That's who it was, because Luther was the fucking... So, basically, they had a lot of JoJo gangs, like the Asian gang, the black gang with the purple vest, the fucking one group. Remember this group, Tisco, that looked like mimes?
Yeah.
How threatening could they be, right?
All right.
I love the Rogues. They weren't the coolest or meanest looking because they kind of looked like disgruntled taxi cab drivers.
Right.
But they had the sickest character, Luther, who's the guy that killed Cyrus. Remember it, Cyrus? Can you dig it?
Right.
At the meeting of gangs. That's what set everything off. I love the Baseball Furies, just like you. What a cool look, right? Yeah. They kind of had it with like the Kiss makeup meets the Yankee pinstripes, you know?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. The Gramercy Riffs, I don't even know what that means. I'm assuming Gramercy is like a part of New York. I don't know what Riffs is. But they were used, if you remember at the beginning, they're wearing like robes at the meeting. And then at the end, they all went straight black on black after that. And dude, how could you not like the Warriors? All right. Swan, the leader, had a cool look with the vest, right? And not only that, bro. something that I know was not happening in the 70s, but they were very inclusive. They had like a black guy, they had a girl, they had like this Latino guy on it, you know? So great movie. You should see it.
From Woven, and the subject is 34 Mexican presidential candidates assassinated. That's unbelievable. I just saw a Joe Rogan Experience clip about Mexico. Notice our U.S. media is silent. Just want to reach out for you guys' anti-formulaic take on the 34 or 37 Mexico presidential candidates being assassinated. Well, it's not presidential. It's just candidates for office.
Right.
Being assassinated leading up to their election day. Attaches a video clip from Joe Rogan Experience and a screenshot of a news article confirming the validity of the story. We don't have to post it because the story is true. My questions are, what's your take? Are assassinations of candidates of this magnitude normal in Mexico? One assassination would be big news here in the States, but 34 or 37? Hot damn, that's huge. I'm just wondering your opinion on why the media is silent about our neighbors. Seems like it should be bigger news. Side note, part of my family is from Jalisco. I'm a fourth-generation American. I've never been there, so please forgive my ignorance towards such a topic. Oh, lastly, before I forget, Jojo, happy Pride Month. May you enjoy all the sausage and appletinis your heart desires for the remainder of this fabulous month. Thank you for the content and much love. And that's from Mark Rosales.
Thank you.
Happy Pride Month, Joe. So do you want to say anything? Just go.
No, we don't have to show the clip. We're just literally 34 to 37 candidates for office have been assassinated in Mexico by the gangs. And it just goes to show you that right off the bat, why are we not tightening up the border if we're bordering a country where they've literally just murdered 35 candidates for office?
Yeah, because they're not coming to the United States to murder anybody. That's in-house.
That's not the point. We're living next to a neighbor, a country, and there's no wall, there's no nothing.
I'm not afraid of the assassins. I'm afraid of the illegal immigrants putting stress on cities that can't hold them anymore. Right. You're not seeing those type of shootouts here. You're not seeing candidates being killed here.
Makes sense. If you had a neighbor like that, you'd tighten your security at the border.
Right.
You would think.
Right. Nobody's done a good job of it, neither Trump or Biden. And like Disco said, they weren't presidential candidates. First of all, there weren't 34 presidential candidates to begin with. Okay. They were all like mayors, governors, lieutenant governors, council members, shit like that. Bro, that's normal in Mexico. This was the most violent year in the history of Mexico. The president denies that AMLO in this, because he has this thing in the morning, every morning with the press. It's called El Mañanero, which is double entendre. It means getting up early in the morning, which is because it's an early, you know, it's an early show, or doing a smashing first thing in the morning, right? It's like a double entendre. And then what he says when they bring up these figures, he goes, those aren't the figures I have. Well, of course not, jack off, because it'll make you look bad. You know, and I just think that the reason, I don't know the reason that they don't talk about this more in the American press is because everybody knows Mexico is violent. It's not really news in Mexico because we're so desensitized that no one blinks an eye.
Right. Next is from Forrester Grillo. The subject is huge mistake. According to reports, Jake Hager left AEW without having talks with management about a new deal and that he wanted out of the company. Now, listen, I've been watching wrestling on TV since I was 5, and I think AEW is the worst wrestling has ever been. The matches are almost comical, and the storylines are as existent as my abs. And it's not, oh, you've outgrown wrestling stuff that people always say. No, I still enjoy WWE and Impact. It's just that the AEW effing sucks. My question is, though, has Jake Hager made a huge mistake? He's been in AEW since pretty much day one and has, according to reports, been making a high six-figure to seven-figure salary for the last 5 years. Why not re-sign for more of that? I can't really imagine that re-signing him is high on WWE's plans in 2024, and I doubt he'll make even 50% of that money working elsewhere. So why not kick it backstage playing games on your phone while the money rolls in? Do you think he made a mistake actively leaving AEW, or is he right to get out? Who cares? Like, you know, no offense to Jake Hager, but they've done nothing with the guy, and now he's leaving. Who cares? Like, this is a disinteresting question. Like,
I just think he's got to be in his early 40s, right?
Yes.
I don't know if he has any big comment, if he's a big enough name to get a big payday in MMA. Okay. Right. Japan, he's the type of athlete they salivate over. Who knows if WWE has a role for him? You see a lot of people being brought into NXT, like fucking Pillman's son and Sean Spears and all these people that are there. But if he doesn't have an offer somewhere, just take their money.
You think the We the People, Jack Swagger thing would still be over in 2024? Maybe that would get a big pop, you know, like as a surprise.
Maybe, right? Yeah, never know. So I know everyone remembers that one special card as a kid that got them into collecting. For me, it was a Dale Murphy rookie card. But collecting has come a long way since then. Now there's a new way to buy, sell, trade, and rip packs. It's called Arena Club. Arena Club has taken repacks to another level. Introducing slab packs from ArenaClub.com. The only repack link provides real value, complete deal of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. So during the pandemic, my roommate found out that he had like a whole ton of like old trading cards. Like he had an 8 Shaq rookie cards. It was just an incredible collection of cards. And I wish I would have known about Arena Club back then, because Arena Club is the marketplace for card collecting, whether you're buying, trading, selling, and displaying. It's the all-in-one trading card platform that you have to check out. There's no more shipping delay through cards lost in transit. Arena Club uses blockchain technology to deliver your card immediately, so buy with confidence knowing every card on Arena Club is guaranteed authentic. The Arena Club grading process combines AI and human grading. It's accurate, fast, and transparent with a full grade rationale provided and explanation for how your card was scored. So talk about hit rates and grading with card collecting.
So the grading, as Disco said, there's been various ways to do it, but Arena Club has that new way that they do it using AI and then experts and all that. I'm looking at the site right now. Like they have a Michael Jordan from 1990. It's mint. It's rated 10. You know, you have this Anthony Edwards plus 9.5, an Otani card, which I actually got, is rated a 10. And also hit rates. Hit rates are what tells you basically how likely it is that you're going to get a rare card in your pack. So they're going to tell you ahead of time what the hit rate is for these slab packs that you're buying. And they're also going to give you an idea of what cards you do expect or get when you buy the slab pack. I actually got an email earlier that on this coming Friday, Arena Club has this new slab pack and they're guaranteeing that there's going to be very valuable Kobe Bryant cards. The site's very open and transparent. If you're a card collector, it's a way better deal. It's a way better way to go about it than just blindly opening packs of cards. You don't know what you're going to get. These guys are up front. They're going to say, hey, you're going to get this much value in this pack. I like it a lot, and I haven't collected cards in years, but when I got my first slab pack, it kind of sucked me back in.
Yeah, so you can make offers, send trades, and interact. You can create your own personal showroom and start building your collection today. So right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/K100. That's arenaclub.com/K100 for 10% off your first purchase.
Yo, if you're a longtime card collector, you're looking to get into the hobby, check out Arena Club. Get your 10% off at arenaclub.com/K100. Boom!
Next is from Suganda Chanko. Subject is this or that. Hey, K100 crew, based on the current state of each company, potential future prospects, I have a question for you. It's also related to the growing list of WWE talents with contracts coming up in the upcoming months. If you guys were in your prime and had these two options, hypothetically, which would you choose and why? Option one, 3 years in WWE, $500K per year, work every TV and house show. Option two, 5 years in AEW, $800K per year, work once a week on Dynamite. Hope this provides good discussion for you guys and gives the audience an insight to what wrestlers take into account when choosing where to sign. Today I would choose the WWE thing. Okay. And here's why. I would think that the agency that bought the company, I would have a lot of other opportunities working there, maybe through movies and stuff, everything, all that, I don't know. It depends on how young I am. I'd want to be in that system because of what I could get out of it, you know, like all the other things that they bring to the table. I don't know. What do you think, Conan?
You and me have always said this is about money, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I know that, but you got to be happy, bro, because as you know, I'm not a get-along type of guy. And so, like, I quit Torreo when I was one of their biggest stars. I quit Arena Mexico when I was one of the biggest draws and stars. I quit AAA twice. You know, I got fired from Lucha Underground. You know, Eric's been on the show and said we butted heads. Like, I am not going to stick around if I'm not being used right. Right. So I got to be happy. And I have a feeling I'd be way happier in WWE. Plus, I think I'd have more opportunities for TV shows, movies, commercials, etc. So I would take less money and stay in WWE.
Okay, because here's why. This is the
tell. Because I know, because you know why also, as presumptuous as this sound, because I know if given the chance, I can get over anywhere.
Right, because here's the other thing, too. This is a key point that we may have overlooked here. One is 3 years in WWE, 500K per year.
Right.
The other one is 5 years in AEW, right. 800 per year. So $4 million.
Right.
4 million 5 years. I would be willing to bet on myself in WWE 3 years of 500 that if I got over as much as I could, I could maybe go like 2 years at AEW for $2 million a year. You know what I'm saying? Like I would increase my value like that much, you know, like my next contract.
Good point.
That's what I would say. And I would think my value would decrease in AEW, you know, so.
According to this, you work, you know, three times a week for WWE as opposed to once for AEW. So there's a lot more.
Dude, I'm not a lazy fuck. I like to work. I like to make my money. I like to fucking do my shit. Right. Like when Dak said in his thing, oh, you know, we're on the road. And I was like, on the road?
Yeah, right.
Dude, you're not on the road.
Right. Yeah. Next is from John de Yvonne. The subject is Tony and Stark. First of all, I've just finished watching your music roundtable on YouTube, and none of you guys mentioned Aerosmith once. Gross, guys. Really gross. We did mention it.
And Steven Tyler. Yeah,
I think either Joe or Jericho mentioned him.
We actually met. They were almost mentioned as the greatest American rock band. I think Madden said that.
Okay.
I will not agree with that.
So then he put Disco's face when Jericho called him out for the consistently shit audio was hilarious, though. Disco seemed legit pissed off. Now I'm going to blame that on Joe. Okay. Because if you're telling me I went on Vince's thing today. And I was recording for 2 minutes. He says, hey, I think your thing is coming through the microphone on your computer. I say, oh, let me go to my settings here and check. I clicked on the setting to another thing. And he's like, oh, it's fine now. But Joe can't even point that out when I was talking to the mic.
I hear it so often that it becomes normal to me. And then I just, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, all right, that's what Disco sounds like. I'll do this to fix it. And
before I forget, Joe, did you send that rehash thing to Violent J or going to send it to him?
No. I sent it when he told me to. And actually, I just resent it and said, hey, this is the clip, you know, and I'm actually going to tell his assistant.
Thank you.
Question time. A few days ago, Tony Khan was, as you guessed it, doing press for AEW. And amongst refusing to answer questions as usual, he responded this to a question about Ricky Starks. So he asked about Ricky Starks, and his response was, at one point there was a plan to have Big Bill turn on Starks and make him a babyface, but that didn't end up happening. One report that it was his decision, but the only thing is that it didn't happen. I think Ricky Starks is tremendous. I'd love to get him involved and back in AEW anytime. He's been a huge part of what we've done here for about 4 out of 5 years, and tons of respect for Rico. Is that his real name, Rico?
Maybe that's what he calls him.
Yeah, what I'm asking you guys is, what are the name of F is Tony Khan talking about? Tony Khan is the booker of AEW. Ricky Starks isn't injured yet. Tony Khan can't work out why Ricky Starks isn't being booked to wrestle for AEW. Please, guys, help me out with this. What is wrong with Tony Khan? I think he's just – I didn't think he realized what he was saying because I think he knows that Ricky's leaving because he's been very vocal.
Plus, my thing is this. If you like him so much, then why haven't you used him? I mean, the guy hasn't been around forever. Same thing with Wardlow, bro. Like, what? What a massive failure they did with him. As over as you can be, and now he means absolutely nothing, comes out with a JoJo group looking as JoJo as him. Maybe, you know, he, like you said, he's leaving, and he doesn't want to get buried for letting another good talent go, like Jada and other people like that. So why did you stop using him? You know what I'm saying? If you like him so much.
Next is from Clayface. Subject is question for K-Dog and Disco. Hey, guys. My question is for Disco and Conan. What was it like at the WWA Inception show? It looked like a shit show. Was there any interesting drama backstage or anything interesting about the show promotion in general? Thanks. I love the show. Y'all are legends. Boom. That's Bill from New Jersey. Number one, the crew was great.
Yep.
A great crew. Okay. The show was just very – Andrew had never done a wrestling show. He actually had a couple producers he was using. The guy said no clue what he was doing, so we literally had to fire the producers, and Scott D'Amore had to bring in a guy that he knew. Like, it was just like the very poorly produced. The guy was paying a good chunk of change to come work for him, but he didn't have the production capabilities to, like, produce, like, a good show, you know? So we just got by with it.
And we had a great crew. Bret Hart was there. Road Dogg was there. Psychosis was there. Yeah. Our boy Slick Johnson, Nathan Jones, remember?
Yeah.
Jeff.
Yeah, son. Next one, Wyatt Grindley, some of his ECW
live. I will say this was funny. Juventud had a lot of heat because he had stolen a belt, kept the belt, okay, and never given it back to this guy who passed away from Northern California, Kirk White. And Kirk White was like, bro, I'll pay you if you get me that belt back, you know?
Kirk White passed away?
Yeah.
I had no idea. That's the best. Conan, guess what?
What up?
The newest K100 partner is a company we're all big fans of, and I'm sure our audience is as well, and that's Roots of Fight. So K100 has partnered up with Roots of Fight to get our listeners 10% off an order of any size for limited time only. So if you've had your eye on any of their product, don't hesitate. Go to rootsoffight.com and use our code K100 for 10% off. That's rootsoffight.com. Now, I know, Conan, that you've worked on this idea for a while, although it's definitely my idea, so I want full credit, but still, without me, we wouldn't have had this offer for our listeners. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. Here's the deal. Roots of Fight, we were wearing this before they even came here to sponsor the show. Is that from Roots of Fight, the one you're wearing now, Roddy?
Yeah, Roddy Piper. There's a lot of like Piper retro stuff. Punk, CM Punk has worn this. Like, you know, Punk's Twitter, he has this. And also, there's CM Punk merch on there for all you punk fans. But they've probably got tons of stuff.
So I got stuff. I got, because I'm a big Bruce Lee fan, so I got a lot of stuff from Bruce Lee. I got some Muhammad Ali. I got Rey Mysterio. I got Bret Hart. I got Andre the Giant. So I got a lot of stuff. It's very, very comfortable. And it's excellent. Plus, they have, like, shorts and long pants. I got these Rey Mysterio green shorts that I wear all the time. They're super comfortable, cool. So check it out. You know, they got everything on there.
What do you got, Joe?
Yeah, I grabbed a couple of Bret Hart shirts, the T-shirt. Like Conan said, the material is really comfortable. So I got like a muscle shirt, too. So you'll never see that because why would I wear a muscle shirt on camera? And I also got this really comfortable hoodie. It's an Elvis Presley hoodie, right? But since it's Roots of Fight and it's kind of sports related and based, it's actually like an Elvis karate hoodie where it shows him doing karate. You know, Elvis was wearing the karate stuff. It was so comfortable. I'm kind of bummed that it's getting warmer. So like, it's almost like I can't wait to wear it next year. Yeah.
Yeah, so check out rootsoffight.com and take advantage of 10% off the code K100. They've got stores for Muhammad Ali, Bret Hart, Rey Mysterio, Roberto Duran, Elvis, Roddy Piper. This offers a limited time only, so jump on it. Get some new clothes to support the show by going to rootsoffight.com and use the code K100 for 10% off orders of any size. Boom.
Boom. You're stealing my line. I say that. Boom.
Next is a Wyatt Grinley, sub to ZCW and Liv Morgan. Hey, K100 crew, hope all is well. I just came across a video of one of these celebrity chiropractors working on Sabu. It seemed like he was in a lot of pain for the bumps he took throughout his career. And I know discos against wrestlers taking big risks. And want to know what you guys thought about the hardcore ECW guys like Sabu and New Jack back when you were in the WCW locker room. Was there any reaction to these guys or to New Jack cutting up the mass transit kid? Any crazy stories of interacting with them despite being in different companies? Also, I had written in earlier this year with my opinion that Liv Morgan should have gone over Bayley at the Rumble. One guy in the comments said, "I only felt this way since Liv is hot." Isn't the point to have a female champion who's good-looking and marketable? P.S. Good on WWE for overlooking Liv's marijuana possession charges that would eventually drop. These wrestlers should be allowed to use anything other than opiates and painkillers in order to avoid the type of pain guys like Sabu are in. Thanks for all the weekly content. That's Wyatt Grinley. Number one, the pot thing, the reason they just look up, they don't, pot's not a big deal anymore, is because it's legal in so many states. It's absurd. And I never really got to see a lot of ECW because this is before social media. I didn't even see that.
But you did see him in TNA.
Okay, but I didn't see like these clips. Like I'd never seen until a couple years ago the clip of New Jack cutting up that mass transit kid.
Yeah, man.
I'd never seen that. You know,
I've never seen anybody in any combat sport at all bleed like that kid, Disco. Right. I've never seen blood just shooting out of somebody's head like that. You know,
I have. Stop. Happened to me once.
Ooh, gross. Yeah.
What you guys think of Sabu? Actually, well, that's a silly question.
I wrestled Sabu.
I didn't have W. Yeah.
The funny thing, I wrestled him.
Yes, after I didn't know that.
He was supposed to go like put me through a table, and I was supposed to move out of the way. Just, I was like, "Go ahead." I was like, "I wasn't into all that stuff, all the tables back then, everything." I was like, "If this guy wants to do that, I'm go ahead and do it." I couldn't care less. Yeah.
But who's gonna say Disco's not hardcore? You know, Disco, you went through a triple table with Public Enemy, right? So there you go. You've done that stuff.
Nexus or Human Shield? Maybe Conan, you can comment on this.
Well, let me just say something real quick about Sabu and New Jack. So Sabu, I had wrestled him in the Indies. Where his uncle, the Sheik, was still his manager. John Arezzi put that show together in New York. And he was doing all this crazy shit. And then when I got the ECW and we did these dual shows, ECW versus AAA, I remember telling him, I go, "Bro, why are you doing this? You're so over. It's not necessary." He goes, "That's how I stay over. And that's what makes me different than everybody else." I go, "Bro, you're going to pay a price." He goes, "Well, then I guess I will." Oh, and he has. And New Jack, another crazy motherfucker who couldn't wrestle. So he had to do shit like that. I would assume Sabu knew how to wrestle because he was trained by the Sheik. Not that the Sheik was a great wrestler, but And New Jack was a crazy motherfucker too. You know, I remember one time he wanted to staple like a dollar bill or something to his head, and Jeff wouldn't let him do it. And I go, bro, let him do it. If he wants to do it, let him do it. You know, and then I remember one time I was on the floor and he went through two tables from a really high fucking thing.
Right.
And he hit himself kind of like that guy that we just saw on the fucking, because nobody was catching him, you know.
Right.
I could not believe how hard the thud was when he hit that. And I'm thinking, bro, this guy's been doing this for years. He must really be fucked up. And I also remember him in TNA. He was a bounty hunter and he was going to look for some people and he had a gun with him. He was very crazy.
Right. He was that. Right? The cool thing about it, I always got along with him, right?
Always got along with him, too.
Right. And the funny thing, when we brought him into TNA, he had some. He actually cut some great promos in TNA.
Great promo guy.
He cut a promo with
and he could do. And before you say it, he did great comedy. Remember when I came up with that idea for him and Sharkboy to be in that little kiddie pool? Yeah.
Right.
So, that was hilarious. Yeah.
He was a good performer. You know, he's very entertaining. So the funny thing is, there was talk about a match he was going to have, and he like went up in the balcony. I was talking about, I'm going to take you and throw it. And they took a watermelon and toss it off the balcony, and the watermelon splattered on the floor. He goes, that's going to be your head when I throw you off the thing. Right. You know, bro, isn't it? He was but you know what? Arguably, he might be the single most underrated promo in the history of the business.
100%.
You know, like if you say, like, fire. You could go in a rabbit hole and watch a bunch of New Jack promos.
100%.
If this guy had ever been like in WWE, he would have gotten over huge, you know?
And here's the thing about that, D.I., is if you even go back to New Jack and Smoky Mountain, like, so it wasn't, he couldn't curse, he couldn't be that full New Jack in ECW. Even Smoky Mountain, under those parameters, he could cut it for a promo, you know?
All right.
Excellent.
Next up, Human Shield, and the subject is Ethan Page. I'm sure you guys will cover this, but how in the world could Tony Khan drop the ball with Ethan Page when he can command a room like he did in NXT? This guy, I know you don't usually watch NXT, but I hope you check the promo out. But when Ethan Page was on AEW, we kept saying, why is this guy not being used more? He's a good-sized guy that cuts a good promo and can wrestle.
Right.
Like another missed opportunity.
So we had a program. It was LAX versus Ethan Page and the other guy that looks like a leprechaun. What's his name? Fucking...
Looks like a leprechaun.
Well, I used to call him a gnome on TV, but what was his name? We had him on the show. That he wears a fucking headgear. Alexander, Josh Alexander. Yeah. Yeah. They were called the North. Okay.
Right.
And right there, I could tell he could go. And he always used to tell me, hey, let me talk on the mic, you know, go ahead. And, you know, he would go out there and I was like, wow, this guy's great. So when he went to AEW and he was texting me, bro, I hate this place and this happened and that happened. And I go, well, yeah, I can bring you down to Mexico. I think he didn't have a passport or something, but I've always said that Ethan Page is, you know, 5'2" player. Yeah, he is money.
Yes, he's good. He's an excellent guy to use on TV.
Yes.
Do you want to see this quick little? It's 37 seconds from NXT last night where Cody shows up. It's kind of an interesting little wink and nod.
You're on the Royal Rumble and you got yours. Next week in the Battle Royal, I get mine. I believe it. Oh, I'm in this thing next week too. You don't want to wish me good luck, Cody?
The King is going to win the battle.
What?
Seems like you guys are in a good place.
That's great.
Yeah.
That is great. Good,
right.
Joe.
So next is from the last is Ryan DeMone. The subject is Sabrina Ionescu. Do you guys, especially Cody, realize that when you were talking about how great the Steph Curry versus the female 3-point competition was, you said it was Steph versus Caitlin Clark. I'm amazed no one could correct you guys. Still uncorrected. Oh, Sabrina Ionescu. Yeah. I didn't watch it, so how would I do? You know, I assumed it was going to be against Caitlin Clark, but it was against Sabrina Ionescu. I guess all 3-pointer white females look alike. All right, I stand corrected, buddy. Give Ryan DeMone. You know, who cares? Did you watch it? The Steph versus Sabrina?
Yeah, I did. I thought for some reason I misspoke. Yeah, but yeah, all white girls like in basketball look alike to me. Yeah,
that's good. The mailbag.
Boom.